Jaya Prabhupada, 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 our glories to the assembled devotees. Our glories to the assembled devotees. Our glories to the assembled devotees. Our glories to Sri Guru and Granda. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Verse 46, the passing away of Bhishma Dev. tasya nir haranadini. Sampare tasya bhagava. Yudhishthira karitva. Mahurtam dukito abhat. Tasya nir haranadini. Sampadetasya Bhargava Yudhishthira Karayitva Mohortam Dukito Bhava Dasya Niharanadini Sampadetasya Bhargava Yudhishthira Karayitva Mahotam Dukito Bhava. Chant.
Tasya Niharanadini.
Tasya Niharanadini.
Samparetasya Bhargava.
Samparetasya Bhargava.
Yudhishthira Karayitva.
Yudhishthira Karayitva. Tasya.
Tasya.
His.
His.
Niharana Adini.
Niharana Adini.
Funeral ceremony.
Funeral
ceremony. Samparetasya.
Samparetasya.
Of the dead body.
Of the dead body.
Bhargava.
Bhargava.
O descendant of Bhrigu.
O descendant of Bhrigu.
Yudhishthira.
Yudhishthira.
Maharaj Yudhishthira.
Maharaj Yudhishthira.
Karitva,
Karitva,
having performed it. Muhurtam, for a moment. Dukita,
sorry.
Abhava,
became.
Translation. Our descendant of Rigar, Shanaka, after performing funeral rituals with the dead body of Bhishmadev, Maharaj Yudhishthira was momentarily overtaken with grief. Report. Bhishmadev was not only a great family head of Maharaj Yudhishthira, but also he was a great philosopher and friend to him, his brothers, and his mother. Since Maharaj Pandu, the father of the five brothers headed by Maharaj Yudhishthira, had died, Bhishmadev was the most affectionate grandfather of the Pandavas and caretaker of the widow, daughter-in-law, Kunti Devi. Although Maharaj Dhritarashtra, the elder uncle of Maharaj Yudhishthira, was there to look after them, his affection was more on the side of his 100 sons headed by Duryodhana. Ultimately, a colossal clique was fabricated to deprive the five fatherless brothers of the rightful claim of the kingdom of Yudhishthira. There was a great intrigue common in imperial palaces, and the five brothers were exiled to the wilderness. But Bhishmadev was always a sincerely sympathetic, well-wisher grandfather, friend, and philosopher to Maharaj Yudhishthira, even up to the last moment of his life. He died very happily by seeing Maharaj Yudhishthira to the throne. Otherwise, he would have long ago quitted his material body instead of suffering agony over the undue sufferings of the Pandavas. He was simply waiting for the opportune moment because he was sure and certain that the sons of Pandu would come out victorious in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, as his lordship Shri Krishna was their protector. As a devotee of the Lord, he knew that the Lord's devotee cannot be vanquished at any time. Maharaj Yudhisthira is quite aware of all these good wishes of Bhishmadeva, and therefore he must have been feeling the great separation. He was sorry for the separation of a great soul and not for the material body which Bhishmadeva relinquished. The funeral ceremony was a necessary duty, although Bhishmadeva was a liberated soul. Since Bhishmadeva was without issue the eldest grandson, namely Maharaj Yudhisthira, was the rightful person to perform this ceremony. It was a great boon to Bhishmadeva that an equally great son of the family undertook the last rites of a great man. Mukam karati vachanam bhangam langate kirim yakti pantamham bande sikram tinatarinam Om agyana timarandasya gananjara shalakaya chakshu miritam yena tasamashi gurave. So here we are after the battle of Kurukshetra. And we know that right after the battle was finished, and the rituals for the dead relatives were finished, Krishna and the sages were trying to console everyone. And everyone was consoled except one person. And that is Yudhisthira. Here, he was not able to be consoled after the battle because for his sake, over 640 million people died. I think in our world wars, that amount was not reached. It's inconceivable. The whole world was there. It was a world war. The whole world was there. And everybody died except a handful, the Pandavas and a few on the other side. And so everyone was preaching to Yudhisthira now you have to take up the reins. You're the king. You're the rightful king. Shri Vyasadeva tried, the sages tried, and finally Krishna tried, but nobody could console him, no avail. Just like the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was upset. Krishna was able to console him, and he spoke Bhagavad Gita, he convinced Arjuna, but this time Yudhisthira could not accept it, that just for his sake all these people died. And why? Why was it that Yudhisthira could not be convinced? Because Krishna wanted Yudhisthira to hear from Bhishmadeva, the great Mahajan, lying on a bed of arrows, ready to pass away from this world. And that's the nature of Krishna. He always wants his devotees to be glorified more than him. Just like Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, he spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Lord Chaitanya spread it all over India. But Lord Srila Prabhupada, he spread it all over the world. And when Krishna came, he gave prema, but it was locked. He showed prema. The treasure house was locked. He brought it with him, but it was locked. And Lord Chaitanya opened up the treasure house and spread it. But still it was locked to the rest of the world, so Prabhupada came. And he spread it all over the world. So here in the purport, Prabhupada says, Bhishmadeva was not only a great family head of Maharaj Yudhisthira, but also he was a great philosopher and friend to him, his brothers and his mother. So how is Bhishmadeva a philosopher? He is one of the 12 Mahajans. And so we hear at the beginning, and even in this purport, beginning of this chapter, that he was lamenting for the sufferings, how the Pandavas had to suffer. He said, you had to suffer for being the sons of religion personified. You did not deserve to remain alive under those tribulations, but you were protected by three things, the Brahmanas, God, and religion. And so when we're suffering, we should take shelter of the Brahmanas, God, and religion. And that will help, that will mitigate our suffering. Of course, when they were in the forest, they had lost their kingdom, Draupadi was insulted. Narada came to visit them, and he saw, that their love for Krishna was not disturbed. He told Krishna, he said, Krishna, I don't know, you hypnotized them or what? But they lost everything, but still, their love for you is increasing. So does that happen to us when we lose something, maybe not everything, does our love for Krishna increase? This is one of the lessons we learn from the great devotees of the Lord, from the Pandavas. So Prabhupada explains that Maharaj Yudhisthira was put into difficulty by injustice only. And Battle of Kurukshetra was fought just to counteract this mistake. To counteract this injustice. So sometimes we have injustice happening to us. And we think, why is this happening to me? But don't worry, Krishna will rectify it. If it is truly injustice, then Krishna will take care of it. But we have to take shelter. Again, the Brahman is the Lord and religious principles. So Prabhupada said, as long as they're protected by these three, there's no cause for disappointment. But we have to seek protection too. We have to look for that protection. We try our best, but we should also try to find the protection, the shelter of Krishna. Another thing Prabhupada says in one of the early purports of this chapter, as long as a person is fully in cooperation with the wishes of the Lord, guided by the bona fide Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and strictly following religious principles, one has no cause for despondency, however trying the circumstances of life. So that's what we have to do. If we're feeling despondent and we're having trying circumstances, we got to cooperate with the wishes of the Lord. We have to cooperate. Of course, the problem is very difficult to know what are the wishes of the Lord. We may not know, is it this or is it that? Bhishma was trying to figure out, why did they suffer so much? Why are they suffering? He said, it must be time. Time must be the cause. And Prabhupada explains that in the 14th verse of this chapter, that everything is controlled by the supreme Kala, a forceful representative of the Lord within the material world. Thus, Yudhisthira should not be sorry for the inconceivable action of time. So now the world is feeling the actions of time. The reactions are coming. Either way you can look at it, it's either the actions or the actions. So Prabhupada says, everyone has to bear the actions and reactions of time as long as one is within the conditions of the material world. So sometimes we become devotees and we think, I won't get sick again, I won't feel bad. No, it happens. It happens even to devotees. And that's why we have to wear a mask. Because we're not above the laws of material nature. We're not, but some devotees think they are. I remember when I first went to Russia, I think it was 1998, first and last time I went to Russia, Moscow, and the person who was driving me was driving like he was above the rules of material nature. He was driving on the sidewalk because there was too much traffic on the road, so he decided to go up on the sidewalk. And you know what his name was? Yamaraj. So that was my first experience in Russia. And then they went into the airport to pick up one devotee. It was Praladananda Swami. And then as soon as they left me, the car, a siren of the car started going off, like a horn or something. And here I am in Russia, first time in the parking lot. And I'm just trying to be inconspicuous, you know, but it was not easy. So this was, time, you can't control time, yes. Even, you may think you can control it. Of course, we do have free will. We do have some free will. But if we want to be happy using our free will, then we have to do what's right. That's religious principles. We have to follow religious principles. So our happiness is, it may not be in our destiny to be happy, but our happiness is how we react to our reactions. I just saw one story online about a bird. This bird was suffering terribly. And So somebody came by and was going to visit a sage. So the bird said, "Can you ask the sage how long I have to suffer like this?" And so the sage, yes, he asked the sage. The sage said, "Yes, for 7 lifetimes, this bird is going to suffer like this." And then, so then the person asked, "Well, what can the bird do?" And so the sage said, "Well, if he says, and thank God for everything. I thank you, God, for everything. And then he'll feel better." So then the bird started doing that. He was saying, "Thank God." He fell down. It was in the desert. The bird was in the desert. There was no water. "Thank God for everything," when he fell down. "Thank God for everything," when he was thirsty. "Thank God for everything." After 7 days, that person came back to visit him. The bird was happy, chirping, flying. And so then he said, "Oh, what happened?" He said, "Yeah, my whole conception changed. I'm happy now." So he went back to the sage and said, "What, you know, what happened to this bird?" He said, "Yeah, now his 7 lifetimes karma is finished in 7 days because he changed his reaction to what happened to him." Yeah, we thank Krishna. We know who is God. That's easier. It's easier for us because we know who to thank, actually. We know it's Krishna, we know it's Prabhupada, we know we have so many people to thank. Yeah, and so just try it and see how your life changes. And yeah, try the experiment to be grateful for everything. And we'll see. This is our free will, how we react to our circumstances. We get purified, and that purification is realization that brings us closer to Krishna. It's coming by Krishna's will for our purification. So it's all good. Krishna knows what's best, and so we need to just remember that we are servants of Krishna. Whatever happens is best for us, and we can bring ourselves closer to Krishna by reacting in the proper way. So again, now, Bhishma Dev was thinking, you know, about the Pandava situation. And materially speaking, there was no comparison to them in the whole world. Like Arjuna was the best archer, Bhima was the strongest man, and and Draupadi was the goddess of fortune, and Krishna was their friend on top of it. Yet still they had to suffer. So this is very worrisome, you know, because we don't have any of that. And so we'll definitely suffer. They suffered so many reverses. And Prabhupada said, again, in the purport, "This is Kala. This is Kala. It's time. But there's something behind Kala. And who is that? It's Krishna." In fact, Prabhupada says, "Kala is identical with the Lord himself. And therefore, the influence of Kala indicates the inexplicable wish of the Lord himself." Okay, something happens. It's Krishna. It's his inexplicable wish that this whole COVID thing is coming. It's okay. Krishna's behind it. So Prabhupada said, "There is nothing to be lamented, and the matter is beyond the control of any human being." So that's from the purport of verse 15. Of this chapter. Now Kunti, in her prayer, she said, "Mani tvam kalam ishanam." She understood Krishna is Kala. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains how actually is Kala in our life. Prabhupada says Kala is another name for Super Soul, who is the witness of all our actions. Super Soul is Kala. Well, Kala is an expansion of Super Soul also. Yes. So then Bhishma, finally, he says, "No one can know the plan of the Lord." So that's where the cause is there. "Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered." So Prabhupada explains, "The bewilderment of Maharaj Yudhisthira over his past sinful acts and the resultant suffering is completely negated by the great authority Bhishma." Bhishma wanted to impress Maharaj Yudhisthira. "Since time immemorial, no one, including such demigods as Shiva and Brahma, could ascertain the real plan of the Lord. So what can we understand about it? It's also useless to inquire about it. Hopeless. We will never understand the plan of the Lord. Well, there's one way we can understand, and that is by serving the pure devotee of the Lord. But there's another problem there, because no one can know the plan of the pure devotee either. Very difficult to understand. Unless he tells you. Unless he tells you. And sometimes he would tell us. But actually, he didn't want to tell us. He said that if I tell you the plan, then it may not happen. Because if you tell someone your plan, then that's it. It may not happen. So best not to tell. So Prabhupada said, even the exhaustive philosophic inquiries of sages cannot ascertain the plan of the Lord. The best policy is simply to abide by the orders of the Lord without argument. So that's what we can do. Prabhupada commented on Bhishma's position. So we heard how he's a philosopher to Yudhisthira. And so here is what he commented. Before the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was considering, how can I kill Bhishma? But duty is so strong, Krishna is advising, yes, he must be killed because he has gone to the other side. He has forgotten his duty. He should have joined you. Therefore, he's no more in the position of guru. You must kill him. He has wrongly joined the other party. So this is Prabhupada telling why Arjuna should kill Bhishma. What is behind it? Like he's putting the words in Krishna's mouth. Sometimes Prabhupada will do that. And that helps us to understand the mentality of Krishna. He has wrongly joined the other party, therefore there's no harm killing him. Similarly, Dronacharya, I know their great personalities, they have great affection, but only on material consideration, they have gone there. And what is the material consideration? Bhishma was thinking, I'm maintained by the money of Duryodhana. Duryodhana is maintaining me. Now he's in danger. If I go to the other side, I should be ungrateful. He has maintained me for so long, and if I, at the time of danger and there's fighting, if I go to the other side, that will not be good. So he was thinking like that. And he didn't think, Prabhupada says, he didn't think Duryodhana may be maintaining, but he has usurped the property of the Pandavas. And then, Prabhupada changes his whole attitude, and he says, this is in a lecture, but it's his Bhishma's greatness. He knew Arjuna will never be killed because Krishna is there. So that's what Prabhupada says here in the purport also. As a devotee of the Lord, he knew the Lord's devotee cannot be vanquished at any time. And so Krishna is teaching us lessons through the Pandavas, through Yudhisthira, how great they are, how they can tolerate all troubles for the Lord's sake, how Kunti was praying for more troubles so she could have Krishna's association. And another lesson is how the virtuous devotee must conquer over vice. Another lesson, how devotees may be materially weaker. Bhishma and Jonah were much stronger warriors, there were more soldiers on the other side, but they depend on Krishna, they'll be victorious. So Prabhupada talked about two kinds of strength. One is material and one is spiritual. And so on the one side was the material strength, on the other side was the spiritual. So the spiritual is more powerful, and that's why the Pandavas won. Another thing is another lesson. We learned the whole Bhagavad Gita. Krishna taught Bhagavad Gita through Arjuna. And Krishna will teach Srimad Bhagavatam through Parikshit, Arjuna's grandson. So even though devotees may be expert managers, expert bowmen, fighters, religious, there may still be reverses. And Prabhupada said they must accept such troubles as benedictions from the Lord. And so Prabhupada is telling us how to accept the reactions that may come to us. So another point Prabhupada made, not only philosopher, Bhishma was a friend. So Prabhupada explains in one lecture, Battle of Kurukshetra was fought on military principles, but at the same time in a sporting spirit, like a friend fights with another friend. And so we heard that last time I was speaking class. Duryodhana criticized Bhishmadev. You don't want to kill the Pandavas or Arjuna because of your paternal affection. And so a Kshatriya can tolerate insult. So Bhishmadev said, okay, tomorrow, 5 arrows. And we know that story that the 5 arrows were missing. He had to give them to Duryodhana, kept them, he gave them to Arjuna. And then the next day, Bhishma actually forced Krishna to break his promise. So, yes, there was affection there, and Duryodhana noticed it. Yes, you're not fighting properly. There was affection. So then Krishna's behavior also, he was so affectionate to the Pandavas that he was their messenger. One time he went to the Kauravas, and he was speaking about peace. And the message was relished by Bhishmadev. This is one verse. Oh, it was a lecture, again, other leaders, because it was spoken by the Lord himself. So, from the very beginning, Bhishmadev was taking care of the Pandavas. He was thinking, when they were sent to the forest, when they were banished, Prabhupada said Bhishma was crying. Why? This was in a lecture on Gita in London, in chapter 3. Bhishma was crying. Why? They're so pure, so honest, such powerful warriors. And Draupadi is the goddess of fortune. Why do they have to suffer so much? So he was feeling so much affection. And later on, after they finished their exile, they were still living in Virat Nagar, where they had lived incognito. The Pandavas sent a Brahmana messenger to the Kurus before the war, asking for peace. And Bhishma spoke up and he said, yes, it is fortunate the Pandavas are doing well. They have secured the assistance of many kings. It's especially fortunate that Damodar Krishna has taken their part. It is fortunate they desire to act virtuously and they wish for peace. So he talked to the Brahmana, you've spoken the truth, your words are sharp in keeping with your status as a Brahmin. All the Pandavas have suffered so much and are certainly entitled to their father's wealth. So this is from Mahabharata. Not even the holder of the thunderbolt could keep that from them. What to speak of those bearing the bow? There is little doubt Arjuna alone can defeat our army. And he did, actually, when he was incognito, the whole Kuru army. And so this purport talks about a conspiracy, a colossal clique was fabricated. That was Duryodhana, and Dhritarashtra agreed. And this was common in the palaces, that there were things like this going on. So we heard Kunti, she was enumerating all the different sufferings that Vishan Mahagni, Purushada Darshanat, Asat Sabaya Vanavasa Kichita, Medhe Medhe Neka Maharatashtato, Janyashtata Shasma Hari Virakshita. So first there was a poison cake, Bhima was saved, then the house was on fire, and Vidura saved them. Then there was a Rakshasa cannibal who was disturbing the village. And so then Bhima went and killed that cannibal. And Asat Sabaya, then Draupadi was brought into the assembly and tried to make her naked. She first tried to hold onto her sari, but what could she do? So she called, Govinda, Govinda, please save my honor. And Krishna saved her. So Krishna says, this call of Draupadi has put me into her death. That's in Nectar of Devotion. So Prabhupada says, therefore, it's not very good to try to save oneself. We should depend on Krishna. Of course, we do our best. But at the same time, our attitude should be, Krishna, you save me. That's okay, otherwise you can kill me. So that was taught us by Bhaktivinoda, Manasa Deha Geha. And now one question may be there. Prabhupada asked a question in the beginning of third canto, that the Lord comes here to kill the demons and protect the devotees who are suffering. Why did he tolerate such injustices and insults to Draupadi in his presence? Of course, he wasn't actually there, but he was on the planet. Prabhupada gives the answer. Why did he tolerate? The Lord was just waiting to get them together on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and kill them all at once, just to make a shortcut in his killing mission. And so Krishna had shortcuts. Prabhupada said that was his shortcut. The battle. Huh? This is 3.143. V143. Yeah, because you might think, well, you know, how come? You know, this is Draupadi. She's, you know, goddess of fortune. How could she be insulted like that? And well, of course, Krishna did save her. He did protect her honor. He did protect her. But, you know, you still might think, well, why? And so this is, so we, you know, maybe in our lives there's a problem and Krishna has a shortcut for us that we are not aware of. And so, yeah, don't worry. Krishna says, don't worry, I'll protect you. In the Bhagavad Gita, do not worry, Mashicha. And then the Vanavasa Kuchata, they went to the forest, and then the battle field of Kurukshetra, Arjuna could kill them by the grace of Krishna. While speaking with Shukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Pariksit referred to this. He said the battlefield of Kurukshetra was like an ocean, and the warriors are like many ferocious aquatic animals. But by the grace of Krishna, my grandfather Arjuna crossed over this ocean very easily. And then the last thing was the weapon of Ashvatthama. So Prabhupada was talking in a lecture. We may have many enemies who may be very powerful fighters, but if we remain under the protection of Krishna, no one can harm us. Yes. So we have examples in Juhu Bombay. Yeah, they tried to destroy the temple. There wasn't much of a temple. It was just a little shed. And they destroyed the shed, and they're going for the deities. And my god sister, Maithili, she went and put her arms like this between two poles. Of course, the police took her away. But anyway, she tried to protect the deities. And so, but then they were stopped. It was stopped just in time. And then in America, the deprogrammers were taking away devotees, kidnapping them. And that was also stopped. That was also stopped. And so we know there's demons, and that's happening right now. We also have example from Ramayana. Ravana was a devotee of Lord Shiva. And when he was in fighting with Ram, he was praying to Lord Shiva. But Shiva didn't come, Prabhupada said. And Parvati asked Lord Shiva, what is this? He's such a great devotee of you. He served you so much. And now he's in danger asking your help. Why aren't you going to help him? And Lord Shiva replied, my dear Parvati, what shall I do? I cannot give him protection. Why shall I go? Because, yeah, Krishna was, Ram was there actually, it was Ram. And so that is our protection. Krishna's protecting us. We all need protection, not just the women. The men also need protection. Look at the Pandavas. Arjuna is such a powerful fighter, and he still needed protection. And so again, in a lecture, Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna is giving us protection, but not as much as he wants to give us protection, because we won't accept it. We think, yeah, I can manage. And if we want full protection, then sarva dharmam pritaja mamekam sharanam vraja. And here's another translation. Every time he would quote this verse in the lecture, he would give a different translation. So here's a translation of give up everything, give up all religious and surrender to me. So here's another one. Give up your own manufactured, concocted means of protection and just surrender to me. So we have our concocted, manufactured means of protection. Yeah, he would say whole different translations. You just surrender to me, I will give you protection. Protection from what? Protection from sinful activities. So Prabhupada said we should feel the need for Krishna's protection from this material world. We shouldn't think, oh, now I'm very comfortable. He said, no, we're in danger. Because now people are more aware of danger of present and future. People are worried about the future a lot. What's going to happen in the future? So, So Prabhupada said, as soon as you think I'm very comfortable, then you're spiritually fallen. So test yourself. If you're feeling really comfortable, that means you're spiritually fallen, Prabhupada says. Very, very heavy. And so it's always dangerous. And we should think, okay, I need Krishna. I need protection of Krishna. And then we're safe. Yeah. Otherwise, it's very dangerous. So, the last thing Prabhupada said, not the last thing, but in the purport, he was saying that Bhishma Dev was happy Yudhishthira got the throne, and he was actually waiting to see it, and also to see Krishna. When Duryodhana was trying to kill Pandavas, Bhishma was protecting. He always gave good counsel to Dhritarashtra, treat his sons and Pandavas equally. And when they went to the forest, he was crying. And now again, he's crying when he saw them, remembering their sufferings. So Bhishma Dev consoled Yudhishthira, taught him how to rule up to the time of death. He was their friend and affectionate. And now he got his desires fulfilled. It was his desire to see Yudhishthira on the throne. And he could leave his body peacefully. So he had the benediction. He could leave his body at his own will. So now he took advantage of the auspicious time. And of course, what could be more auspicious than having Krishna right there with you? It's the most auspicious time. And even materially it was. And he concentrated his full attention on Krishna and he went back to home, back to Godhead. So we'll stop here. If there's any more, any comments? Yes.
Yeah. Well, so you say always, to be materially comfortable at the time of your weakness, but also a spiritual person is situated in Krishna, and they are also in the show because of the ashram, right?
I couldn't exactly understand your question.
Well, I was saying,
okay, devotee is protected by Krishna.
Yeah, so he's situated here in green, sheltered, and is at ease because they're sheltered by Krishna.
Okay, he feels comfortable because he's sheltered by Krishna.
Yeah, and then the opposite of that is the devotee, the person who is situated in Maya, and they're attached to it, material comfort. So it's the same result, you're comfortable, but the result is very spiritual.
Yeah, okay, so the person in material life feels comfortable in material life. Okay.
And it's a real conscious point to have that in your life, is the material.
Is your question that if the devotees are comfortable materially?
No.
I can't.
I'm
really
saying it's comparison.
Oh, we're comparing the devotees' comfort to the materialistic people's comfort.
Yeah.
We're comparing that.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, well, yes, if you want to compare, you can compare. But the devotee's spiritual comfort, taking shelter of Krishna, you're comparing to the non-devotee's comfort with material things
right.
and relationships.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, we want to compare that. Yes, we can compare. A very good comparison is at the time when the non-devotee is leaving the body and when the devotee is leaving the body. That's a really good time to compare the two, the situation of both of them. I saw my husband's mother when she was, before she left her body, and she was, in this place, some nursing home. They were forcibly doing everything, forcing medicine down their throat, forcing food down their throat, brushing their hair. They were wearing diapers. And she was, and we showed her pictures of different pictures of her life and thing. And we asked her, which one's your favorite picture? And she pointed to a picture of herself at her home, normal. So this is, they die, even before they die, they're suffering so much. And I saw their recreation. They were sitting around in a circle in wheelchairs and throwing balloons to each other. And this was their preparation for death. And the devotees, when they're dying, it's so amazing that they're happy. They're seeing where they're going. I hear so many stories. One lady who was dying in Mayapur, and she was on her deathbed, and she had a vision of she went unconscious, and then she said, "Oh, yeah, I saw Krishna. Krishna told me to go with him, and I said no." So then she went, another 2 weeks went by, and she went unconscious again, and she had another vision. And then she came back and she said, "Oh, I saw Radharani, and she asked me to go, and I said yes. So, this is how the devotee leaves the body. I think that's the best comparison. The point is that whatever a materialistic person has, it will be taken away at death. Everything will be taken away. Nothing, even your body, even your everything. Everything's gone. But devotee, everything is there. I mean, the external things may be taken away, but the spiritual things are increasing. Increasing, yes. So that's the comparison between the two, is what happens at the time of death. I know I was one time, when I was in Moscow that time, then I had a question from the Brahmacharinis in the ashram, and they asked me, you know, it seems like we're doing so much austerity, and other people outside, they're so happy. I said, yeah, you think so? I said, they're also going to work the day and night, just like, yeah, but there, what is the result of their work? What is the result? What is the happiness? And so again, the time of death, you see the result. You see the result of time of death. Even devotees who go away, they see Prabhupada at the time of death. We've been hearing stories about that. And so, it's so many stories are there. Any other, yes, questions anymore?
Well, in one angle we can say that the pig is eating stool, he's happy.
Okay, pig is eating stool, but he's happy.
That's he's true. Not saying, I was a human, it used to eat cake. He's not thinking that.
That's true.
The Maya Devi did a very good covering.
Yeah, Maya is covering. I mean, the pigs in Vrindavan, they're supposed to go back to Godhead, but they're shipping them to Delhi for slaughter. So,
really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're taking out the monkeys too, because there's such a disturbance. They're putting them somewhere, I don't know.
Outside Vrindavan?
Yeah. But just before I left, they took out about 200. Of course, there's still so many left.
I remember in 5th Canto Jarabora story, in one of Parpur Prabhupada writes, this is the monkeys in Vrindavan, so like their last life.
Yes, yeah, their last life. They got monkey dogs, hogs, monkeys, all the animals in Vrindavan.
So can you tell me, like, what will happen to the pig that got slaughtered in Delhi instead of Vrindavan?
That's a good question. That's a good question. He might take another birth in Vrindavan. if his life is shortened, you know, if your life is shortened, then you might have to take birth again. Might have to take birth again.
In the last couple months, we are doing this Bhishma Dev's teaching.
Oh, yeah.
It's very nice.
It's very good.
And two speakers mentioned that Bhishma Dev went to heaven to get study. Where is this idea coming from? By the time you go to heaven and come back, how is that, you know, 16 years? Is 16 years of our time is like a nothing to go to heaven. I was tracing, I could not find.
Mm-hmm. I think maybe some Mahabharata might say that, because Mahabharata differs from Bhagavatam. I don't remember. What it says in Mahabharata.
Well, in Mahabharata doesn't say he went to the heaven.
Doesn't say, okay.
But in Ganga Mahima Mita, it says some indication that because his Janavi, Janumuni's ashram, that's in this planet. So Bhishma Dev also went there to see his grandfather. So Janumuni also taught him. But that's not really like heaven we think of, Dibba Sarga. There's three types of heaven.
Yeah, three types, yeah.
So maybe the heaven related, but I don't know where. You want me to ask those speakers? I mean, I know who spoke.
Yeah, you ask them, because I haven't heard that. Yeah, this is, Bhagavatam says he went to the spiritual world.
Like,
and you know, the demigods showered flowers and played drums. Would they do that if they were just coming to heaven? I don't think they think they do that when they go back to Godhead. You get the drums and the flowers, and that's for spiritual. And that's for those who go back to God here. Yeah, it's not logical, but it can be written somewhere, you know, who knows.
Right.
Or it could be mistranslated somewhere, you know, because their idea of heaven is the spiritual world. The Christian's idea of heaven is it's a spiritual place. They don't understand that there is a material heaven in this universe. I know, I was a Christian, and you know, they think that, you know, heaven is where God is, where you go back to God and enjoy yourself.
And somebody may ask, I'm not saying that Prabhupada's commentary has anything wrong, but you just read, I'm just trying to read, where Prabhupada says the Bhishma Dev was talking about Kunti Devi and the Pandavas, but Draupadi is missing in the picture. Draupadi's name is not there.
In where?
In your purport today.
Yeah. She'll be mentioned later on, and when the Pandavas leave, in chapter 15 of this, I think it's around verse 50 or 51. Her name, she will be mentioned there, that she went back to Godhead.
No, I mean, when Bhishma Dev was communicating.
Oh yeah, did she go? I don't know if she went. Yeah.
Draupadi had a question, no? That you were when this robbing incident was taking place. Mm. You were there. Where was your dharma? Now you're giving such a wonderful.
Oh really?
Yes.
Yeah,
that
I don't
question think... raised in Mahabharata.
Mahabharata.
But today's purport, Prabhupada didn't mention about Draupadi. Just he mentioned about Pandavas and Kunti Devi.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so we take as our highest pramana, our highest evidence, Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes.
That's our evidence. Mahabharata is lesser. There. And there are some stories there which are not... that are not true, actually. Mm. They're written to deviate the atheists, or anyway, to misguide them. Yeah. Lord Chaitanya, it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there was a verse where Lord Chaitanya lists a few of those things.
That's true.
Yeah, it's listed.
Yeah.
Like the disappearance of Krishna and something else, yeah. I can't remember the others. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay, any other questions?
How do you pray for protection?
How do you pray for protection?
What is that?
Well, my favorite verse is from Shikshastaka. The fifth verse, Ayananda Tanuja Kinkaram. I'm your servant, I'm drowning in this ocean. Of birth and death, please pick me up and place me as an atom of dust. So because our suffering is due to forgetfulness of Krishna, and that's why we're suffering in this material world. So if we can just remember and do some service, remember Krishna, then that will be the best protection that we have. Yeah.
Well, one devotee says, the verse before and after. He said, Prabhu, I don't want to be hypocrite. I can't pray like that. I don't want beautiful woman, wealth. I want to marry her. I want to. So what is your answer?
What is the question again?
That verse you gave, that for protection we should pay. Beautiful verse, that's true.
Yeah.
But the verse before and after.
Before and after, okay.
I don't want beautiful woman, I don't want wealth, I don't want... In reality, some of the devotees cannot relate. They say it, they hear it, but they feel disturbed in their own consciousness. It's not true, I'm not praying that. But they say it because everybody says, okay, say it.
Well, we just... We say the prayers of Lord Chaitanya and the great devotees with the attitude that this is what I would like to, this is my goal. I would like to be in this position. Of course, at this moment in time, I haven't reached the goal yet. I'm still in verse number 2. I don't have any attraction, although you made it so easy. That could be a better prayer. But she was asking about protection. So that's why I said verse 5.
No, that's a nice answer, but this is also a nice answer. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, verse 2 is more like where we're at.
Yes.
Like, I don't have any attraction. Even though it's so easy, there's no rules, I could chant any time. Do I chant any time? No. No, it's.
So what I understand you are trying to say that I should not be duplicious. I should say those prayers.
Yeah.
And say that I cannot see that, please help me to come to that level.
Yeah.
So that I can see that I don't want.
Right.
Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. Even though I cannot understand that because I have attraction for those.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah, I think in, you know that verse in 11th canto, 20th chapter, I think 27, 28.
Yeah.
That one.
Jato shraddha mat kata so nirvinna sarvata.
Yeah, even though I'm still falling down every day, still I have faith.
Yes.
I have faith. That, okay, I'm not going to be hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be hopeless about my life, my position as it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, third chapter, I think 27, first purport. If you just continue to act, even though you can't follow everything, without hopelessness or feeling of defeat, then Krishna will help. Mm. Krishna will help us. Yeah.
Thank you. That was very practical.
Any other questions?
No questions.
Okay. Jai. Bhagavad Shri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.